Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Jared McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk in depth with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Wolter, about changes in technology and the fishing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Find your perfect Can-Am ATV or side-by-side at Hayward Power Sports. The all-new 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATVs were redesigned with the rider in mind for unmatched fun and value. Hit the woods or trails with models starting at $5,999. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of a $500 rebate or 2.99% financing on select models. Looking for a side-by-side? The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's extra tough on the worksite, the ranch, or wherever you need to get the job done. Feel the adrenaline surge in the high-performance Can-Am Maverick, or get the best of work and play with the ultimate crossover, the Can-Am Commander. Claim the side-by-sides that fit your needs today and enjoy financing as low as 1.99% for 36 months on select models. Make every hunt a success, every trail ride an excitement-filled adventure, and make light work of your heavy-duty jobs, all with a brand-new Can-Am off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I got Jared in here again. Yeah, we lost him last week, but we got him back again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, I'm here. We're out doing all of our buying shows, making sure we've got all the latest and greatest gear for, you know, this winter and next summer. So, yeah, seeing a lot of cool stuff out there that's going to be new.
I know a lot of people don't realize that, but you guys go to several buyer shows where you actually plan for the next season and look at the best stuff out there and try to get the best deals you can for the people.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got a pretty good finger on the pulse for what's going to be, you know, hot and new this year with, you know, everybody that's out there pushing for advertising and showing off new baits. So, yeah, there's a lot of new stuff out there that we're seeing at all these shows. And, yeah, we're trying to bring it to you guys for the best price.
Let's talk a little bit about the fishing here. You know, water temperatures are really dropping. Yesterday I was out, I saw like 61 degrees out there.
Yep. So I've heard a couple of reports this morning from mid-60s or what have you. But as we go further into the week and I see some rain in the future or what have you, that'll keep knocking those water temps down.
You know, and that's about on par course because usually you got to get down around that 55 to 58 degrees and the big lakes start to turn over, and you know that'd be about the end of September, first October, which is pretty much normal.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and as those water temps start to, you know, continue to drop or what have you, the fishing will just get better and better.
What have you heard here at the shop? I know you've been gone, but they get to talk to you. Let's talk about the panfish. That's been pretty good.
Yeah, panfish has been pretty good. Guys are still getting them out there. They're kind of all over right now. We're hearing some crappies that are dropping off into the basin already. Some fish are still up on cribs. Some fish are still on weed edges. Bluegills are kind of following them right there. So, you know, panfishing has been really good out there.
Walleyes. This is the time we start looking at walleyes and muskie fishing, too.
Yep. From reports, you know, walleyes fishing is still a little bit slow. We've got some guys that are starting to get into them, intermixed with the smallies out there. You know, they're going out there, they're fishing slip bobbers with walleye suckers out there, starting to get those fish, thinking about fall out there. But just from what we heard, walleye fishing still been slow.
Yep. I'll go with that, too. But you mentioned smallmouth, then, you know, there's some real good smallmouth fishing to be had.
Yeah, and that's what we're hearing, too. You know, a whole bunch of the bigger lakes around around here, guys are out there, they're, you know, they're still running plastics, they're using live bait, but, you know, tis the time, and for the next couple of weeks where those smallies are going to start putting the feed bags on, there's going to be some excellent fishing out there.
And muskie and pike, you're hearing anything there? I know there's been some good muskie action from what I've been hearing.
Not hearing much on pike out there, but muskies, yeah, we're hearing a lot of good stuff for muskies. You know, we've got muskie suckers here in the shop now, so a lot of guys are coming in, putting smalls and mediums out the other side of the boat when they're casting, but seen some nice muskies being caught off the flowage and off a couple of the other lakes, but muskie fishing's been solid, and it has been for a while now.
You know, and it'll hold there. Well, right now, we're hearing they're still seeing some fish up shallow, and that's normal, the shallow movement right around that mid to low 60 degree range.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those fish, now that water's starting to cool down, they've got a lot more range than they did, you know, midsummer with those higher water temps. So guys are getting out there, they're throwing bucktails, they're throwing some topwater, some glide baits, a lot of different baits will get it done right now.
You know, and then it'll turn into more of a trolling bite or a sucker bite as we progress into colder water.
Yep, absolutely. Those fish will start to slow down. They'll start looking for that one big meal instead of a whole bunch of different little meals.
You know, I'm talking about trolling, fall trolling, walleyes and, you know, muskies. You guys have got a lot of gear here for that, for guys who want to get into it, because we've only been able to troll on a lot of lakes up here only the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a craze that's just starting to come to fruition around here with a lot of the guys out trolling for muskies and walleyes. Seen some nice fish being caught trolling for walleyes, you know, this summer on Lindy rigs and crawl harnesses or what have you. But as we get into the colder water and we start going more of those hard baits or what have you, muskies and walleyes will pick up. It's definitely a great way to keep your hands warm and still be fishing and covering water out there.
Yep. Just keep the ice out of the reels. Anyway, we talk about some of the other stuff going on. Hunting seasons are open now for small game and for archery deer, and we're going to be seeing more guys out there in the woods too.
Absolutely. And if you're still looking to have some work done with your crossbow or your regular archery, if you got some tuning that needs to be done, you know, definitely come on in, see John, Ken, or myself. We can help you get lined up, and we'll take care of you, get you ready for the season.
You got a good selection of bows and crossbows, especially crossbows. I see a whole raft of them hanging here, and you got just about anything they need for archery supplies too.
Absolutely. And if we don't have it, we'll order it for you. We'll get it here for you.
How about the fall fishing supplies? You're in pretty good shape for that stuff too, I think, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, we've got a couple baits in the shot that might catch you a fish, but yeah, I think we're fairly well set for you.
And as we wrap up here, you know, I know panfish is your gig. You like panfish. Any good tips for people on finding and catching those fall crappies once we start getting in this cooler water going?
Yeah, you know, a lot of those fish are going to drop off deeper, so they're going to be a lot easier to find on electronics, and then it'll just be staying on top of them. You know, they like to move all over the place, so if you're on them for 5-10 minutes, they might move, you know, 10-15 feet to the right. They might move forward, so just make sure you're keeping an eye on your electronics for which way those fish are moving.
You know, and they are moving all the time, you know, and not everybody has a live sonar, which makes it easier to follow those schools. But if you've got like Hummingbird Mega 360, you can follow those schools around a little bit, or even side imaging, but you got to move the boat around. But the key is electronics.
Absolutely. Key is electronics and find those fish. But, you know, as we get into fall, those fish are going to be hungry. So find them and they will bite.
You know, and I'll say the biggest mistake, and I don't know how you fish them, but the biggest mistake I see people make is they always bobber fish them, it seems like. A lot of guys will get out there, and they'll be fishing with minnows and bobbers, and I just about don't use a bobber except for in the spring. It's tight line fishing, and we'll go downfield, and I find more of the active fish down toward the bottom. Some people say suspended fish, but the bottom fish seem to be the ones that I can coax into biting quicker.
I'm the exact same way. Springtime, when I'm tight to cover, I'm using a bobber. Just keep that bait, and, you know, away from that cover, but still in a good bite zone. But as soon as I hit, you know, early June, mid-June, you know, I am, you know, tight line completely. So usually just pitching jigs and plastics or what have you. But yeah, you know, fishing a lot of the cribs throughout the summer or what have you, a lot of those fish were holding really tight to the crib on bottom. So, you know, those suspended fish, those were a little bit smaller fish. So a lot of those fish were holding tight to cover.
And Jarrett, as we wrap the show up here with you, you guys can got tips, information, lake maps, plus bait and supplies here.
Absolutely. We've got it all here for you. So if you're new to the area, or if you just need a couple new tips and tricks, we're here for you.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
Thanks for having me again, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we come back, we'll be talking to our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Get the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Truth is, our 2023s arrived late and we missed out on early season sales. So we have a huge inventory of them, but desperately need to make room for the 2024s. It's the perfect storm for incredible deals. From the entry-level Lund Adventure to the awesome Lund Impact XS and everything in between. They're all rigged with Mercury outboards and offered at blowout prices. Get your new Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, on. This week, we got him on again, talking about a whole different topic about technology and fishing. Max, good to have you on the show here again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit today about some things changed. You know, this is 44 years I've been guiding up here, and when I started, compared to what I do today, day and night difference, not even day and night, it's like universe away difference from where we started at. And a lot of it's due to advances in equipment and gear and boats and technology and knowledge, and things have really changed out there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a high-tech angler myself. So, you know, I learn about this stuff through my, you know, the professional side of my life. It's getting a lot more conversation in sort of the outdoor media. We have been doing some research within DNR that I've been a part of. So it's been very interesting to kind of track this issue and see how, you know, the amount of attention towards it has really picked up, especially in the last few years. It seems like some of the most recent technological advances in fishing electronics have really caught people's eye and gotten them talking a little more.
You know, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, you say you're not a high-tech angler, but you use graphite rods. You use the newest technology. Right. You use the knowledge that we've gained over the fish. So that is all part of technology to me.
You're right. Yes. I guess I'm not looking at screens very much as a part of the way I fish. But, yes, I'm absolutely benefiting from, you know, materials and, you know, types of fishing lures and all sorts of stuff that, you know, are new or were new at one point in time and represented, you know, an advance in fishing technology. And I've talked about this before on your show, but that's always how it's gone, right? It's always been an arms race. The first new thing to come out might crush the fish for a couple of years, and then it kind of comes back down to earth. And, you know, it's interesting to track all that. And now it's kind of really shifted again into that electronics world and fish finding.
Well, you know, in things like trolling, we talked a little bit about it before I started recording here. Trolling was for muskies was an end-all thing. It was going to kill the muskie fishery, and all of a sudden, the places that we were trolling muskies before, and some of the guys that really focused on trolling, their catch rates drop off. These fish get smart. They get educated, and, you know, they avoid things, and one of the things they're starting to find out is that they're avoiding some types of sonar pinging. I've had guides in Minnesota tell me that, you know, they can be on a spot fishing, catching a bunch of walleyes, and somebody sees them there, and a bunch of guys get in there, and you've got sonar pinging away there, and all of a sudden the fish just shut off and they quit biting. When everybody leaves, then the fish start biting again. So, you know, it's the fish are learning to adapt too, but I think we can stay ahead of those fish, which means we're going to have to be also proactive on how we approach it.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't heard much about that type of phenomenon. If fish are avoiding sonar, that'd be an interesting thing to look into a little bit more and learn more about. But yeah, you know, there's always kind of been this concept of, you know, the catchable fish, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that depends on the species and the time of year and all that stuff. But there's always kind of this pool of the fish that are the easiest to catch in the population. And I think sometimes what happens is our technological advances or just a change in method, like you talked about with trolling, kind of opens up a new pool of catchable fish. And then, yeah, that pool either gets wise or gets fished out or whatever. And then the pool of catchable fish moves elsewhere. So there's definitely some truth to that. And, you know, there's a lot of research out there that shows fish do adapt to angling. You know, they do learn. And after a few years of fishing a population hard, what's left is either the smart fish that didn't get caught or the fish that people chose to release. But the ones that made themselves really easy to catch and keep, they're gone, right?
You bet. Well, Al Lindner once told me, he said, you were selectively taking the more aggressive, the more vulnerable fish, the ones that are apt to be caught. We're catching them out of the population and leaving the population with the fish that are harder to catch.
And there is some research supporting that. And it's kind of cool stuff, you know, especially if you spend a lot of time thinking about fish and fishing and you're out there in the boat or whatever. Fish have different strategies for how they're going to approach life, just like people do.
Yep.
You know, some people are very shy and timid and very risk averse. Some people are very bold and they're going to put all their money in the stock market and go for it or
aggressive.
Whatever. Aggressive, exactly. That exists in human personality and it exists in animals too, including fish. And so researchers have been able to document that, you know, certain fish, individual fish, will consistently behave more aggressively than others. And they found that is a genetic characteristic that they will pass down to their kids. So if an aggressive fish lives long enough to spawn, its offspring will also be aggressive fish, and same of the timid fish. So that kind of gets at what you're talking about, that, yeah, if aggressive fish are easier to catch and you start removing a bunch of those, you may wind up over the long term with a more timid or shy or harder to catch, however you want to look at it, population. There may still be plenty of fish in the lake, but they may be getting harder and harder to catch. And you see that, you know, it's intuitive if you think about, you know, where do you want to fish? Do you want to fish on some pond in the middle of town where, you know, there's people fishing nonstop? Those fish are seeing 20 baits a day. Or do you want to go fish in Canada with fish that have never seen a lure before in their entire life? It's an easy answer, right? Even if it has the same number of fish per acre, you know where you want to go in that scenario, right?
Well, I know, and I get a kick out of people that say, well, they got 100 times more walleyes per acre up in Canada, and that's not true. There's maybe a few more in some lakes, but it's not, exponentially more walleyes. It's just that those fish are not fish are not pressured fish, and they're more apt to be biting.
That's very possible. And it's possible both are true. I mean, a lot of those waters are in kind of the prime habitat and range for walleye. So they may have a higher density, but then there's also this component of how hard does a fisher get exploited?
Let's talk about the technology. The one thing, the latest thing, I mean, it started out years ago. It was when first the sonar came out, it was going to be bad. And then you got sight imaging, and that was going to be something. It was be bad. Now it's live sonar, forward-facing sonar, live scope. Garmin has a live scope, and it's what I use. And you've got Lowrance has a version. Hummingbird has MegaLive. But that's been the one now that they're, oh, it's gonna wipe out the fisheries. But you know what? I don't think we need to start worrying about technology as much as other factors.
Well, yeah, and I you know, not being a super technology expert when it comes to this type of thing, you know, I guess I can't speak to all the nuances of what these things can and can't do. You know, I try to keep up on it to the best I can. But, you know, one thing I will say to kind of hopefully reassure people that have concerns about this stuff is, you know, we do have the ability to look at these things, right? We've done some research in recent years looking at use of technology and how that changes angling catch rates and harvest rates and things like that. And we also have a lot of like long-standing creels going where we're out asking anglers, how long did you fish today? What'd you catch? How much you catch? What'd you keep? And so, you know, if there are big changes in the whole angling community and their effectiveness, let's say, you know, if people are worried, oh, it's going to double the amount of fish that people catch or harvest, we will be able to detect those things in our creel surveys and the other data that we gather on anglers. And then, you know, maybe at some point we have to react just like we would if it was anything else. I mean, you know, maybe it's the technology, but maybe it's also just double the fishing pressure. If a lake just has twice as many people start showing up to it all of a sudden because of whatever reason it got put on Lake Link or people, you know, built a bunch of houses nearby or something, and now there's all this fishing pressure, we can detect those things and we can react accordingly. So it's not like nobody's keeping an eye on this technology issue.
You know, and I've talked to other biologists in the past, and they've told me that, you know, they could probably regulate the fishery with regulation packages alone without even worrying about open and closed seasons. And that may be the thing we need to be looking at in the future, is better regulations even yet. It may have to strengthen the regulation packages, or there's other options too, including educating anglers. And the more and more anglers nowadays I'm seeing out there are very selective on what they harvest comparatively. And so, and those are the people that are more apt to be using some of the high tech stuff, I think.
I think there's some truth to that, yes. And I think that may be, you know, something we're already starting to see is a self-regulation where, you know, even though maybe somebody's catching more fish, they get very good at this technology, whatever, they've made a decision on their own. I don't really need to keep that many. I'm not out here to use my live scope to try to take every fish out of this lake. Certainly that's going to vary from one person to the next because, well, people are all over the place, right? Nobody has, not all people are the same. There's all sorts of different motivations out there. But yeah, it's a kind of a new issue, but it's also not, right? You know, right. We've dealt with these fishing technology changes for a long time. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And our regulations are constantly evolving, right? I mean, they have been for 50 years before anybody was even talking about this type of stuff. It was already, you know, evolving and changing. You don't see the no minimum length limit, 5 daily bag limits for walleye anymore. That used to be kind of the default for the whole area. That's unthinkable today, right?
And it's changing everywhere.
It's changing everywhere. There's, you know, we have minimum length limits. We're using slot limits more often. And that's all going to continue to kind of protect vulnerable parts of the population, prevent excessive harvest, which just too many fish leaving, while still creating opportunities. And we've talked about this on the show before, but you know, there's lots of different ways to regulate a fishery. Seasons are one, but we want to have people give people the opportunity to get out there and fish. So season isn't one we use as much as bag limits, size limits, and then in some cases, some restrictions on harvest methods, some of which are obvious, like you can't use dynamite, right?
Right.
But then there's a lot more nuance too. You know, how far do you go? And we've had a lot of interesting debates locally about trolling and number of lines per person. And now we're talking about this type of stuff with electronics.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring the show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and almost go to make room for the sports shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. to book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. You know, when it comes to the harvest thing, too, for people that want to eat fish, and I like to eat fish, too. I mean, maybe we need to spend more time, and we've done this somewhat on the show, talking about shifting the focus a little away from some of the more popular fish, and take it away from the walleyes and the crappies, and switch it to more northern pike and bluegills. I mean, we got plenty of bluegills. We got plenty of northern pike. I mean, but there's issues with those fish we need to be addressed too sometimes as far as size bluegills. So we don't want to be taking bluegills over 9 inches, for instance.
Right. Yeah. I think you hit on something really important there with, and it gets kind of into, you know, the climate stuff that I talk about a lot is, you know, we know that times will continue to be good for largemouth bass, for bluegill, probably for crappies. And so those are the species where, you know, we can absorb more harvest. And if people are looking for alternatives to some of the other species that aren't as common, like walleye, or if they've started adopting catch and release only for muskies, you know, where's that harvest going to come from? Well, we need to be directing people towards some of these other species. And you can already see that with how we're approaching regulations. You know, we've taken off a lot of length limits on largemouth bass to allow people to harvest more small ones. We're increasing bag limits for northern pike to allow people to keep more in some of our musky lakes. Panfish are a little bit more nuanced because, like you mentioned, we also want that nice size. So there's a bit kind of a balance to be had there. The other thing that I think is a good thing to talk about, especially on the radio and get it out to a wide audience, is getting people thinking about the mortality of the fish they release.
Oh, yeah.
The factors that contribute to that. Because even if you are a 100% catch and release angler, there are certain things that can lead to fish dying, and that's functionally no different than harvest, right?
Right.
So one of the big ones that we've identified is catching fish from depth. If you're catching fish from 30 feet or deeper, certainly, and even 20 feet or deeper, the mortality on those fish when you try to release them can be quite high. Another consistent factor is water temperature. Basically, every study that's ever been done on catch and release mortality or fish dying after someone's tried to release them shows higher water temperatures, more likely for that fish to die. So that's something for people to just be aware of.
You bet. You know, and that's one of the things that you, good thing you mentioned that, because that's kind of stirred up the muskie community. One of them stirred up the muskie community is that certain people in some of the basically, I think you'd call them two-story lakes where you have deep water cisco and you've got muskies that'll go out in 50 or 60 feet of water. Guys going after them with live sonar and pulling them up out of that depth in the middle of summertime and then releasing them. Well, they might as well not have released them, but that's stirred up that community some, and that's angler ethics more than it is anything else.
That's a perfect example of this type of thing we're talking about, because the musky fishing community, you know, getting close to 100% catch and release, 99 point something percent catch and release as far as people going out to target a musky, they don't want that fish to die. Right.
Right.
But how do we regulate, you know, we can't regulate the depth at which people are fishing. That's just a non-starter. That's a nightmare. And so that's where it comes down to talking to people, helping them understand what the consequences of those actions are. The tricky thing with a lot of this catch and release mortality, and I just, you know, heard an angler talking about this, is they said, well, you know, I caught 500 fish and I released them all and every one of them swam off. So I didn't kill any of the 500 that I...
None of them always did.
But yes, it's typically a delayed mortality, and that fish will use any energy that it can to get away from the surface of the water and to swim down. It does not necessarily mean it's going to survive. And so we kind of have to follow the studies on that topic and say that, yeah, you know, if you're catching fish from depth, even if it doesn't necessarily look like it, there's a very good chance some of those fish are going to die. So, you know, that's where we got to talk to people about, you know, that's not the way to do catch and release, right? You got to find fish elsewhere or target them at times of the year where they're not going to be more likely to die after you release them.
You know, interesting stuff. I know you talked about that there, Max. I could go on and on for this, but the show is only going to be so long. So I want to thank you for taking the time with this great information. Anything else you wanted to add here?
No, maybe we got to switch to a podcast format so we can go on for 2 hours about this stuff, because I know we could, you and I.
Yeah. You know, actually, we should talk about that. We could do a pretty good podcast. Anyway, Max, thanks.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNOradio.com. From there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.